we're pursuing this idea of coming back. Do you come back to reunions with your class?
I haven't come back to a reunion for a long time. I'm not terribly keen on.
Well, you do college all the time.
But I come back to Lexington three times a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I ask that is it's delightful that you're so supportive of the changes of Washington and Lee, but I'm curious what your classmates have thought and what your sense is from other people, say, on the fraternities, the changes in the fraternities, and the changes in co-education.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't been back to reunions, and I think that reunions don't, well, I don't know, maybe they do, but I mean, talk about these things. I mean, reunions are mostly small talk among friends and gossip and stuff. And the people who come back are the people who feel good about the place. I'm not sure you'd hear that. The alumni, the members of my class that I continue to see off and on, like Henry Turner at Yale and Ray Smith here in New York and so forth, are so delighted with what's happening to Washington Lee that I never hear a negative voice. I know there were some strong negative voices about co-education, but I thought that most of those would not be disaffected for very long because in my wife's family, my wife's uncle had gone through the same thing at Amherst. And I knew what happened. A lot of complaining and shouting, and two or three years later, the complainers and the shouters are trying to get their daughters into the place. So I know of some people, some Washington Lee alumni, who are bitterly hostile, and I expect there's still some who are unreconstructed. But I think a large number of people who thought that it was a terrible thing have come around because they understand, as practical people, that when you double the size of the pool, you get a lot better students. And also, most of our alumni who have children have a 50% chance of having daughters. So I've never known a college that went back to being all male. I think that every experience of that transition has been a positive one. And I told that Amherst story to the president. Wanted to know what I thought about co-education, and I told him they're all going to yell at you, and then 2 years later they'll be asking you to get their daughters in. And I think that's what's happened. It certainly happened.
That's exactly what's happened. As John Wilson said, they all discovered they had daughters and granddaughters.
So I think that's been a great improvement, and it's led to less driving across the mountain at 90 miles an hour on Saturday nights. Another positive spin-off. And so I think that when you come back to the college and you read about the college, it's just a very dynamic place with everything going right.
Have you followed the succeeding administrations? Have you
Yes.
remained close to the various presidents?
Yes. Close is saying too much, but mm-hmm. I've known them all, and we have had real serious talks about it. I mean, I think they've wanted to know what I thought, and I sat in John Wilson's office to have a chat with him, and I think we've talked for more than an hour. I don't know how I think I ruined his morning, but he definitely wanted to listen, and I wanted to talk. And I've known all the presidents since Dr. Gaines, and I guess I had the feeling that I've been consulted by all of them. They all have had the gift to make me think they were listening to me.
I think that's. I've had the privilege of interviewing three of them so far, and I guess that's all I'm going to be able to, isn't it? And they have such charisma.
Yeah.
I can see how they got to where they are. They really are remarkable people.
Yes.
They make you feel very important.
Yes.
And they're very forthcoming, as you have been. Is there anything more you'd like to say about the town-gown relationship? Because I love the fact that you grew up there.
Uh-huh.
And
Well,
did you play on campus as a child?
No.
Yeah, your house is a little.
Well, no, that's not right. I did play. I did play on campus. I have a very distant memory of riding my tricycle on those cement walks, which have a street down the middle. It was just like a highway with a line down the middle. But we lived pretty far away, and I didn't go down there very often. But my family, my parents' friends, were mostly professors, not entirely. They had lawyer friends and doctor friends and preacher friends. But they had a lot of professor friends, and they knew Dr. Gaines very well.
Would you go to events at Washington and Lee?
Oh, yeah. But I think the town-gown relationship was much more distant when I was a student than it had been in my parents' time. Because in my parents' time, a lot of the students boarded in town. And that's not the same as renting an apartment in a house that some investor has decided to sacrifice to the student trade. And it's calculated that by the time they've torn it down, which is about 7 years, he will have recouped his investment. This means actually boarding in someone's, being in the family. And so a lot of the gentlefolk of Lexington didn't have lots of money to throw around, but take in a student boarder. And so they were sort of in the family, and they got to know townspeople, which is not the same as renting a farmhouse. Or
that's a very good
apartment.
Point.
And so my parents' family and their friends' families all had alumni who would come back and say, I lived in your mother's house. And there was a little bit of that left in my time, but not much. So there wasn't much of the sort of elderly lady and student boarder kind of rapport. And by my time, everybody had cars, and they were all driving over the mountain, and their social life was outside of town. And in 1920, social life was in town, and I think it was probably pretty Spartan for mm-hmm. some of them. But the town-gown relationship was pretty distant. And it grew even more distant. The tax dispute and so forth in recent years has made it even a little bit contentious and conflictual, mm-hmm. which it wasn't in my day. But most of the students didn't notice the town very much. And when they did notice it, it was to dodge the tobacco juice on Saturday morning when you came around the courthouse corner. The town was a pretty rustic. They were in the Depression years, and we were just after the war, I'd pretty well gotten out of that, but in the Depression years, it was Rockridge County was a poor place. People came into town barefooted and in rags. And I think a lot of the students, for them, it was pretty distant.
What were the hangouts in town? Were there
places? Oh, yes. The corner, diagonally across from the post office, I think it's is it a vacuum cleaner store?
Not much of anything.
It was a restaurant for a while, but in my day it was a beer joint. Of course, you had to be 21 to drink, but the faculty drank there, and the older students, law students, drank there, and you could go and eat there. That was certainly one. Then there was Jabbo Morris, who was in the site of the present Wilson Walker restaurant. And he was a beer wholesaler. And I went in to get some beer from him once and said, get out of here, boy. I know how old you are. But he delivered beer.
He probably had a hard time trying to pull anything off.
He delivered beer in a Model A Ford Roadster that was permanently listed to the left because he was a very large gentleman. And he took beer around to the fraternity house. But the corner was the main kind of hangout.
So
there was something called the Liquid Lunch also, which was across the street from the Wilson Walker House. It was a kind of a hamburger joint. And then there was Steve's Diner. I forgot Steve's Diner. I shouldn't have. Steve's Diner was where, North Main Street, going down just below campus, there's a kind of mall covered.
Deaver's Alley.
Deaver's Alley. Mm-hmm. Deaver's Alley is on the site of Steve's Diner.
That was Steve's
Diner?
That
was Steve's Diner. Steve's Diner was a real diner. It was a shiny stainless steel dining car replica where you went in when you got back from Sweetbriar Hollands at 2:30 in the morning, you would go in and have a Steve's Burger, which was about, which was solid cholesterol, a really drippy gooey hamburger, and that would bring you around. And Steve Neophotis.
What's the name?
Neophotis. Steve Neophotis, Greek restaurant, typical greasy spoon.
Well, when I first moved to Lexington in the 70s, that was a gas station just going out of business.
Well, there was a gas station right next to it, but that's still a gas station.
Now, that was a gas station.
Uh-huh, okay. Well, it had been Steve Steiner.
Because somebody had mentioned Steve Diamond.
And there was one other place that I'll mention, which is long gone, and that's Mike Brown's. Mike Brown had a zoo, and this was pretty much ended. I think this ended about 1951 or 1952, so it didn't really affect my classmates very much. But my brother's crowd in the late 40s and right at the beginning of the 50s, Mike Brown had a slightly mangy tame bear and I think a monkey or two, and a beer tavern, which was at the corner of Thornhill Road and Country Club Road, where you turn in to go to the Country Club. And there's some little houses there now. But there was a beer joint there.
And a zoo?
A little zoo, a couple of slightly moth-eaten animals. And that was Mike's place. I think his name was Mike Brown. And that closed up about 52 or so. He probably had a few licensing problems. But that was a place where people drank too much. I remember there was that was a place where you were likely to run into something on the way home.
Did Zollman's exist?
No.
Then?
Well, the Zollman family did. The Zollmans lived out there. But Zollman's Pavilion wasn't going yet. That was a boys' camp in those days, run by Tex Tilson, the father of Jim Tilson.
Really?
He had a boys' camp out there. And so that's where Zollman's Pavilion is, if I got my addresses straight. But that was a boys' camp in those days.
Oh.
But Zollman owned the land.
So that really came into
later.
In the 60s.
That's later. And of course, we all went to Goshen Pass.
Mm-hmm. Oh, tell me about going to Goshen.
Well, I don't think going to Goshen Pass is very different. There's more tubing probably now, but we just swam and sunbathed and drank a little beer and read.
So picnicked. You would have known Goshen Pass, but
yeah.
Bringing people from elsewhere, can you remember taking somebody there for the first time, or were people impressed by it?
Oh yeah, I think they were. I saw it first when I was very small, and so Goshen Pass seemed to me very large, but I'm sure seeing it for the first time as an adult, it's just a nice stream flowing through the hills.
It was spectacular the first time I went.
I did indeed take people there.
Did students coming from other places, did you have a sense that they appreciated the beauty of Rockbridge County? Did they talk about that?
Well, I think so. A lot of students climbed House Mountain. I knew the way up. I took a lot of students up House Mountain. I think there were a fair number who liked the hills and the woods.
Now, do I understand, is there something called Student Rock?
Yes. Students Rock, if you climb the front face of the front mountain, there are the two mountains that make House Mountain. Mm-hmm. The road goes up the back, but at the front, you climb, I don't know how to get up to the trail, but it would be hard to explain, but you go up that way, halfway up, there's an enormous ledge. It's not really a rock, it's a whole ledge that comes out of the ground and then goes back in again, with an overhang, and you could, if you were caught in the rainstorm, you could get under there, and that was like this high overhang. It was like a sort of cathedral, and you went under there. And there were lots of places where fires had been made. People obviously cooked hot dogs and things. It was about halfway up. And it was called, and it's still called, as far as I know, Students Rock. It's about halfway. You catch your breath there or get out in out of the rain. And then the other half of the climb is above you. And in those days, I think more people climbed it than do now. My mother claimed she carried a lemon meringue pie up to Students Rock. I don't think as many people go up now as did.
I've been up in the saddle, but that was an easy walk.
Yeah, there's
on
a road up into the saddle, but there's a There's a little building that used to serve as a Sunday school, and you go in there. It's before you get to the road that goes into the south. It's from the front side, and you go up in there to a dead end, and there's some people named Moore who live up there who weren't glad to see you at all. I suspect they had a little sideline business up in the hollow they didn't want you to see, but they weren't at all glad to see you, and I would tell them who I was, and they knew my father who taught in the little Sunday school down below, and they would say, okay, you go on up, and you would go past their houses and go on up.
And there were obviously was an established trail.
Oh yeah, it was an established trail.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't
tried
that.
I haven't tried it for years. I bet the trail is overgrown. You just sort of went straight up. I have no idea. I haven't done that lately.
Well, all the references I've seen to Student Rock seem to be older.
Yeah.
I don't hear people talk about
it today.
I think
people now go up to the saddle because
that's
where the road goes.
Yeah, that's what I hear people talking about now.
Yeah.
Well, I just can't imagine going to school in such a beautiful place. I wouldn't think I would get any work done. I just like go out hiking all the time.
I remember a lot of temptation in spring days, doing papers and studying for exams, wanting to be out of door.
Yeah, I understand classes were often held out on the front lawn.
I don't think it happened much in my time.
No?
We have some of that here.
Uh-huh.
Fair number of classes when the weather gets warmer, people. I don't ever remember a class on the outdoors.
Oh.
I don't think I ever remember having that happen in my time.
That's interesting. Because somebody was just telling, I guess that would have been just a little bit later.
Yeah.
What he was talking about. Well, I've gotten all the things I wanted to talk about. Is there anything more you'd like to?
No, I don't think so.
This is just wonderful.
So.
I've got some real quotable quotes here. Oh, I'm delighted.
Probably all my indiscretions.
Oh, well, hardly. Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, I'm terribly sorry to be late. I didn't really think I would have such a problem.
You were worth waiting for.